explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week, we are going to be talking about comics and collectibles.
And dicks in my face.
And dicks in Jerry's face. Jesus. Sitting to my right is Tom, also known as fucking Zombietron. I couldn't remember.
Fucking Zombietron. Like, and it's said in that remember. Tone. It's not Zombietron.
Fucking
it's
Zombietron.
Fucking Zombietron. Yeah.
Sitting next to him is Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
Hello.
That's what you want to go with? That just was hello. Oddly like, all right.
That's all I want
to
do.
Sitting next to him, co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas, also known as Killtacularatron.
Yep.
Sitting next to me, to my left, is Kylie, also known as Vagitron.
Suck my cock, motherfucker!
And I am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. So, we're going to jump right into it.
That was a great impression.
As always... We are going to start off with Kylie's, like, comic book recommendations.
Suck my cock!
Kylie, what do you got for us?
Kylie, you don't have, like, a stack of shit. What's going on?
I don't, because I blew my load on Hannibal and Preacher.
He's ready for a nap.
Let's talk about
Last week is what I'm saying.
Kylie's grab bag.
Let's talk about Spider-Man.
Let's do this shit.
Superior. Yeah, we're wrapping up Superior Spider-Man.
Yes.
Or
this
I should
has
say
been pretty sweet.
It is wrapped up. I'll let you talk about it, because I'm going to gush over Ultimate.
Let's hear about it.
So they've got the Goblin storyline going on, which is kind of leading up to Amazing Spider-Man starting at the end of the month. And so I can't remember the name of the chick that Doc Ock's in love with. It's a little midget girl. She's this little midget scientist.
I can't remember either.
But so basically through this issue, they've kidnapped this girl who Doc Ock is in love with, and he can't save her because he just doesn't have the... He can't think like Peter does. Peter would just jump into, like, we need to save these people, where Doc Ock really puts too much thought into everything.
Right.
And Peter is just like, I don't care about the consequences. I need to save these people in danger. So Peter has been... Earlier on, Doc Ock thought he got rid of Peter, who has been kind of hiding in his head. But Peter's been hiding out in Doc Ock's memories and having this whole conflict of who he is, basically. But
yeah, like, so the memories, like Doc Ock and Peter's idea of who they are is kind of melding into one person. He's not really differentiating Uncle Ben
exactly.
From, like, his...
But he's fighting with it, like, you know, he's getting a Doc Ock memory. He's like, no, that's not me. This is me. So there's a point where Doc Ock just pretty much gives up and says, you know, Peter, I know you're there. I'm going to erase all my memories here, and I need you to save the woman I love. And at the end of the episode, or the end of the issue, they're in Parker Industries, and they've hooked up to this machine where Doc Ock is erasing all his memories, and he's telling Peter, you need to go save this woman I love. And at the end, like, Peter is taking himself out of this machine. He goes over to the closet, puts on the classic Spider-Man suit, and he's like, okay, now it's my turn.
And then there's one issue left.
Yeah, there's one
Superior.
More.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was a really good issue.
So Superior really sounds like it turned it around, because I know you guys were bitching a little bit at first, like, oh, another one of these where it's not...
At the beginning, I bitched about it.
Yeah, but since then, you guys have been like, nah, like... Once Doc Ock stops seeing, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi...
Yes,
exactly. Well, it's been 20-something issues, almost 30.
31 issues is when it's in. 31 is when
right.
it ends.
And yeah. I'd say the first six are the ones that it's like, okay, this yeah, is... The first six are good, but six is where it starts to get a little weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so technically at this point, Spider-Man's killed somebody.
No.
It's been really good.
Well, that
I'm
first
curious
issue...
as to where Doc Ock is in this whole existence now.
If at all.
If he's actually completely gone, or...
Well, that first issue, reading that whole first issue of Superior Spider-Man, I'm like, I dig this. This is great. I like this. It's a different spin. It's kind of like when they did Civil War and Peter unmasked himself, and I'm like, I am Peter Parker. And mm-hmm. the shit that stemmed out of that, where you're like, oh my God, you can tell years of stories with this. And they... Within a year, they're like, nope, that never happened. So I was kind of happy with this edge. And the end of the first issue where Peter's ghost came in and was like, no, I will not let you kill this person. I'm like, oh, fuck. Right, really? Right. You could have waited 20 issues before you even brought this into the storyline.
Which is kind of what they did after that.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. After, like, the first five or six issues, it really got good.
And so the big twist was the Goblin, he's been kind of using Doc Ock's ego because... The Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, knows that it's Doc Ock and not Peter. Yeah. And so he's kind of been using Doc's ego against him to where all the little spider tracer bots that are across the city that see all the crime, that's how Peter gets his intel. Goblin's got them programmed so they don't see anything Goblin related. So he's been able to do all this crime and build up this whole community. It's been really good. I'll be interested to see where it goes. Carly... She was transformed into a goblin, his ex-girlfriend, Peter's. Yeah. And I'll be interested to see if she comes back from that, if Peter and MJ, what happens there, because all around it's like MJ grabbed Aunt May and her husband, who's actually Jameson's dad. They got married, and so she took them out of town. It'll be very interesting to see how this all pans out for Peter now, because he has to kind of clean up this mess. Oh, and then 2099 Spider-Man...
So J. Jonah Jameson,
he had created all these spider slayers because Doc Ock Spider-Man had kind of like pinned him into a corner and blackmailed him so he could do whatever he wanted, police and be vigilante. So J. Jonah Jameson created these spider slayers to take out Spider-Man again, and everybody kept telling him these aren't ready, we can't send these out. He's like, no, right now we have to do it, now's the time. And then Norman Osborn ends up being the one to take over control of the Spider Slayers and have them attack Spider-Man, attack the people. So 2099 Spider-Man helped build them.
Yeah,
because it's kind of this whole convoluted story. Goblin tells Spider-Man, Doc Ock, if you want to save the love of your life, the first thing you need to do is ditch him. You know that you can stay there and help save him, but if you don't come here now, I'm going to kill her. So you have to come here now. So he just ditches 2099 Spider-Man. He's like, oh, sorry. Good fucking luck. See you later.
And that's where that's the last time you see him. He's just getting swarmed by the Slayers.
So I don't know what happens with him.
Well, there's a new ongoing series of 2099 Spider-Man.
Oh, is there?
I haven't heard this.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't know where I fucking saw it, but I think it was like one of the emails that we get about like...
Are you sure it was the solo? Because they're doing a big Spider-Man story where, like, all the versions of Spider-Man are in one book.
That's different. Like,
so it's a different one.
Spider-Man 2099 is going to get his own ongoing series.
Huh.
I liked 2099.
Yeah, what's his name? Ben...
It's not Ben Reilly.
No. It's something else.
I don't know.
But, so that's been really good. I liked where they're taking that. What other comics did you want to talk about?
Survive. I want to hear Survive.
So we've talked a lot about the Ultimate Universe. We had Galactus. Did we talk about how Kitty?
Right. We talked about Kitty Pryde went through him, and then Thor gets sucked into the neutral zone.
Yeah,
we
covered that. Yeah.
So it starts out with Iron Man giving a eulogy. Well, Tony Stark giving a eulogy for Captain America.
Right.
Who's dead?
Who is dead? Yes.
So.
So he is dead.
He's dead.
According to, like, you never saw his body.
That's the thing that confused me.
Well, and the president of the United States, who...
was Captain America.
Was Captain, but it calls Kitty Pryde during Survive to award her a medal. So there's got to be a new president, obviously, that was elected.
Well, yeah,
I can't remember who it was, but...
Whoever was down the line.
Yeah.
So, Tony Stark's giving the eulogy for her. Captain America, And you have... like Bombshell and Spider-Woman and the new Spider-Man and everybody hanging out at
this eulogy.
Sue
Storm is there. The Thing is there. I mean, all these cacophony of all the heroes involved. Yeah.
So pretty much all of the heroes. Anyhow, he's talking about how he just can't do it at this point, and there's going to be no more Ultimates without Thor and Captain America because they're both gone now. But there's no reason for them to be any Ultimates.
Right.
So I'm super distracted. I'm sorry.
So he essentially says, you know, he can't walk through the HQ without them there, you know, because Cap inspired everyone to be the best part of who they were at any given time.
Right.
And he's choking up during this, obviously. He's pretty broken up about it. And they're kind of tying in some of the other world, like, which I think they're kind of bringing in what Fantastic is.
Yeah, so,
because they talk about Sue Storm and everything that Mr. Incredible saw with his alternate self of the life he could have had and the kids and the...
Yeah, and he's saying, like, I know that so there's Reed, no future... So
Reed's in this at all.
Yeah, yeah, so Reed is telling Sue, like, I know there's no future with you and I, but it's incredible to see all the things that I could have accomplished and the things that I could have had readily available to maybe stop Galactus that I didn't because of the things I had done.
Right.
And Sue's still like, you know, go fuck yourself.
You know, and you see, like, I don't know, go ahead, keep going.
So then towards the end of the issue, now Bombshell, you've seen Bombshell with Peter Parker Spider-Man. She was a bad guy. And then she recently came in with the Miles Morales Spider-Man. Her and her mom were like the villains where they were robbing places and her mom went to jail and they figured like, you were influenced by your mom. You know, we'll keep you under probation. So there's her, there's Cloak and Dagger, there's Spider-Woman, Peter Parker's clone, for those that don't remember, and then Miles Morales, who are all there. And they step forward and say, you know, we will be, we're taking over. We're going to be the new Ultimates. We're going to run the show.
Awesome.
Yes, it's going to be fucking awesome.
I'm stoked. Like, I think the other thing that, and I don't know if this is just her being funny, but she talks about maybe changing her name.
Yeah, I think she's kind of just a cool, Black Widow.
Okay, cool. Like, I think
that'll be sweet.
I just and like we've talked about this because we had that cover for the new Avengers or the new Ultimates. And it just looked fun.
We're all standing like, up against the wall.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde's coming through the wall and Bombshell's like, and it's like
I'm kind of excited to see Kitty Pryde interacting with
and so she got a medal. But, you know, I didn't mention that she got a medal from the president for defeating Galactus.
Right. And I think you see her actually get awarded the medal in Spider-Man?
No, in Survive. She mentions it in Spider-Man. I haven't read Survive, but she doesn't
get
awarded.
No, she gets the phone call to get awarded it in Survive.
So maybe she'll get it in X-Men.
Yeah, but it's but that's the thing is Ultimate X-Men's done.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's FF. Where does she end up?
She's going to be a new
I thought she's going to be an Ultimate.
She's going to be a new Ultimate.
So essentially the president calls her up and says, "Hey, I don't I'm for mutants, and now that like you've done this, and I'm the president, I think we can make a big motion to where this whole anti-mutant discrimination stuff is done."
And I think it's cool how, like, because through Ultimate X-Men, we really just what we get to see is Kitty Pryde be developed as a leader, right?
Right.
And as like this really strong force for good, almost to the point where she could maybe fill those boots that Cap had. I mean, talk about the adversity. Because Cap's whole thing is he went through all that adversity, right? And he fought the adversity and stood on the moral high ground. Kitty Pryde does the same thing with the whole, you know, with fighting in Utopia and all the terrible things.
For the
things
few
they
people
deal
who
with.
Stuck with Ultimate X-Men
it
up
got
till the
good.
End.
Oh my gosh.
Like, her and Cap were like, he's like, I'm for you. I'm going to let you guys do your thing.
Yeah.
If you need any help, you let me know.
Well, and I mean, and even just that final battle, even before the Cataclysm, with her versus
Jean Grey.
Versus Jean Grey when she makes that decision to destroy Tian.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was so good. And I'm really glad I stuck that one out. Really glad.
That was, So that's, it was, I thought it was a really great conclusion and then kind of kick off into this new Ultimate volume, whatever you want to call it. Did you read the Ultimate Spider-Man?
I did, yeah. I was going to comment on your Facebook post, but it was really, it was as touching to me as the Cap one was from Brubaker.
I had a rough time reading parts of it, just being as involved in the character and how much I don't know, I'm infatuated with that series. And it touched on all of the things I really liked in the Ultimate Spider-Man run. You had, like, Bobby Drake and the Human Torch. When the two of them were living with Peter and they were palling around with Gwen, that stuff was some of my favorite.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Aunt May, it's 2 years after Peter's death, and she's having, like, a memorial get-together at her old house, which they're selling.
Now we're at Ultimate Spider-Man 200.
Spider-Man 200. Yes. And so she's invited a very select few people.
And they're selling the house, right?
Yeah. So you've got, like, what, Bobby Drake,
and the
Gwen, Human Torch,
Gwen, MJ,
Miles, MJ, J. Jonah.
And then, Miles and his buddy, Gonk.
Yeah, I like that kid.
And then Kong shows up.
Yeah, that was good.
I think, some of the most... the heartstrings revolving around Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Because if way back in the Ultimate Spider-Man, when some shit had gone down, they came for Kitty Pryde at the school and said, like, we're taking you. Like, you're, mutants are illegal. Yeah, you're going to jail.
We're taking you away.
And so Kong, who's a human, and he's just one of, like, Peter's buddies that I think figured out that Peter was Spider-Man but never said anything. Yeah. There's a lot of hints to it. He actually decked one of the Secret Service guys and tried to take him down, and they ran away together.
I actually remember that one, yeah.
And so then at some point they split up, and he wasn't with her, and you didn't see that in the comics. So him coming to the door and seeing Kitty Pryde there was kind of a big deal. And so they're all telling their favorite memories of Peter, and Miles feels awkward being there because he didn't know Peter.
But he knew
It wasn't really favorite memories. Right. It was more like, what would you think?
And then where would he
would
go,
have lived? Yeah, where would he? Where would? What do you think he would have become if he would have lived?
Which was great because you had like MJ thinking of the best of him, and then the one that got to me the most was Kitty Pryde because she didn't say anything, but she was thinking about they fell in love and got married and had kids, and then they fought crime together because they were together at one point.
Who was the one who had the one where it was like he was going to be the leader of the Ultimates because Nick Fury? Oh, it was Mary Jane.
It was Mary Jane
because Nick Fury came in and said, I was going to groom this guy and he was going to be awesome. And so she thinks
he had a Civil War style costume.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was so really perfect for the Nick Fury character because you know Nick Fury was hiding it and he like shows up at Mary Jane's like destroyed over the death, right? Yeah. And then leaves.
And the best is that big splash page where it's like he's in the front and like Captain America is even behind him like, I'm following your orders, let's do this.
Yeah, and like the whole ultimate sprawl. And I also liked when they talk, I don't remember whose memory it was. It might have been during Miles Morales' stuff, but they talk about all the things he could have created, and they're showing like stuff from Spider Island.
It was Aunt May.
It was Aunt May because she wanted him to change the world.
She wanted him to be a scientist again.
And so you see like the robotic spiders and like all these like.
When you saw the Beetle.
Yeah.
The Beetle character with the big eyes and the green wings.
Yeah. And you see like all these variations that we've kind of had the opportunity to read, and I don't know them all very well because Ultimate's really the only thing I followed, but it was just good. It made the issue bigger of a bummer that he died
because oh, look at all these different places that could have taken the character. So along with that, Miles brought his buddy Kong along, and there's kind of a running gag that Kong likes Legos. He's always building Legos,
and
he's got this little box with him. And Miles is like, why do you have that box? What the hell's up with that? And he's like, it's a gift. It's a gift for Gwen. Just, you know, leave me alone about it. He's like, what are you talking about, a gift for Gwen? Like, is that one of your stupid Lego thing in it? And he doesn't say anything. He's like, it's Legos. He's like, yeah, it's Legos. It's something I built, and I'm giving her.
I made it for her.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't give it to her. Please, just don't give it to her.
Yeah, and he's kind of like he's the only guy that knows that Miles is Spider-Man outside of his father now.
Right.
And then, you know, the Ultimate Team. So they show up, and out of the corner, you see...
like Gwen and Mary Jane.
Oh, Gwen and Mary Jane know. They know.
So everybody knows.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Aunt May's almost become like an Obi-Wan character for Miles, where she'll show up because Tony Stark has given her the means to, and she'll be like, here's web shooters, you know, here's this, here's what Peter might have done, here's some motivational things I'll say to get you through this situation. So, in the corner, you see him giving... Gwen Stacy this box.
You never see what's in it.
Yeah, she doesn't say anything, and then she like welts up and she
just keeps going, you made this. You made this for me.
Yeah.
You made this for me. And she just gives him this big huge kiss and everyone's
upstairs
like
upstairs with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Human Torch even says like, good job.
Yeah.
And you're like, what did he do? Like, it would almost be really cool if like in the next, because they're gonna do, you know, now upcoming, right, Miles Morales is Ultimate Spider-Man, if Gonke is kind of like his cue to James Bond, where Miles is like, dude, I need item X, and Gonke's like, oh yeah, here,
built it out of Legos.
Yeah, like, right.
No, I needed something like, real. Like,
he's prototyping shit with Legos and then building it for real.
That sounds fucking stupid, Tom.
Well, at the end of the issue, then Gwen Stacy gives him a piece of paper with something on it. You assume it's her phone number or something. Well, I like that these characters are intertwined again, exactly, where we're getting Gwen back and Bobby. And
one of the things I really liked about it is they're sitting there and they have like hot dogs from some like it's not Nathan's, but it's like, we have Nathan's hot dogs and whatever. We're just going to sit and talk about Peter.
Sponsorship opportunity.
And then it's like the doorbell rings and it's Pepper Potts and they have all these vans. And it's like, Tony Stark is really grateful for your invitation. He can't be here, but he's got like, it's not Wolfgang Puck, but it's like, this chef has made all this food for you guys. And they just have all these people bringing like this food. And they're like, oh my God.
And what does Gonke say?
And I can't remember.
Well, Gonki's like, I hope we can invite Tony Stark to everything he can't show up.
But at the end of the thing, they're like, because there's so much food and there's so little people, they're like, they go to a homeless shelter and give the food out to everybody. And
it was like the ultimate,
and
that's, like...
It was Miles' idea, which and him have kind of a moment where she's like, okay, you seem like...
Like, this
you've
was
got
like,
the right heart
this was like
for this.
Family was a, Channel quality shit, man.
I was skeptical when they announced they were going to do the Ultimate 200, but it was a pretty...
I was wondering how they got to that number, which was cool, because in the back
they had the whole list of
here's the Ultimate series, here's Ultimate 6, here's this crossover, here's this, this is how we got to 200.
That's cool.
I didn't see that.
It was really good.
It was very good.
I think you could read it just as a standalone Spider-Man issue. Definitely.
If anything, it's a great tribute issue. Like, and I said this earlier in this discussion, but I loved that. I felt the same way about Brubaker's number 19 of his Cap run when he left kind of the Cap scene behind. I really liked what he did with that as well, because it was the same thing. It was
Do you have that on there?
I do, yeah. Hold it for me. And it's just a really touching tribute, you know, and it that's what Peter Parker was to most of us growing up.
I reread the series. I had been for a bit, and then I had gotten the final couple trades, and rereading that, it was just as hard as the first time I read it, where he passes away. So reading this issue again is just like all over again, the same shit.
Fuck you, Jimmy.
there's not a Red Wings joke in there. There's nothing.
That's all I got. Just laughter.
All right, what else we got for comics? Anything?
Those are the big things. I mean, we've still got like Ninja Turtles. Walking Dead is still fucking amazing. There's two issues?
Yeah. Two issues left.
Yeah, there's two. What did we talk about last on Walking Dead?
I don't remember.
It's probably been about three issues by now.
Yeah, because
like Rick's been shot. It's just fucked up. Like, everybody is dying.
Yeah. Well, and Negan and those guys are out there, as he says so eloquently, fucking roasting marshmallows for all they fucking know, right?
Yeah. As they're watching all of their friends turn.
I wanted to ask what everyone's reading.
I think I just talked about what I had been reading, so.
Yeah. Black Science has been sweet. I don't know who's been reading
I haven't read issue five yet.
I haven't read
issue five. I did read it. It's good, and I don't want to spoil too much, it's been but sweet. You meet, they finally reveal who the mercenary is that's hunting them, that they've been kind of showing through issues 2, 3, and 4. And they start to break off into some pretty interesting shit. Like, it's, I don't want to ruin it for Kylie. I don't feel like spoiling it, but you,
I don't care.
So the mercenary is, it's the scientist. I can't think of his name right now. It's,
And spoiler.
What's his, spoiler alert.
Doesn't even need to be done.
Sorry.
It's a scientist.
No, what's his name? The main guy. I cannot think of his name. John?
The douche guy?
No, the guy that created the pillar, the scientist.
Oh, okay. He's?
He's the bounty hunter. He's another version of himself.
Oh.
And so you find out who sabotaged the pillar, and in that version of the reality, the pillar killed the children. And so the mother,
his
scientist and his wife are hunting down the other versions to stop this, essentially, and save the kids. And it's going to get fucked up. And they're not creating new rips. They're jumping through the other portals. It's really intricate. I like it a lot. What?
Nothing. I'm just getting ice.
You're laughing at me while you get ice.
I'm just laughing because it was like...
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to find this book for you.
Well, fucking...
Sex Criminals has been awesome as well.
Yeah, what's going on with Sex Criminals?
I'm way behind on that.
Still kind of the same story going on. Like, when you started out with issue one, they were... Have you read this, Jimmy? Because this is right...
I read issue one and two, okay. But I haven't
and
read
And those are awesome. So, issue one, they're, like, robbing the bank, and they're getting busted by people.
Right.
So, it's really slowly unraveling who these other people are.
Does it talk about the dominatrix woman that's got, like, the dildo sword? Remember they get busted Jimmy. Like the end of issue 3 or whatever, and she's like,
"Well, it's getting to that."
Okay.
So they actually in the last issue I read, they have sex, run across the street to the bank that they're gonna rob, and they kind of scope it out, and you see the lady that you're talking about who's there, and she's kind of standing there, you know, still to make it look like she's frozen. But she's in the quiet or the cum world or whatever.
The cum world.
Like, she's like, oh, what are these guys doing? So a little later, they're having lunch, and she comes up to him, and she's like, I know what you guys are doing. You're casing this joint. You're going to rob this bank, and I want you to know that there's other people out here, and we're going to stop you. And that's kind of where I've left off.
And so they're kind of Tarantino-ing then, because
exactly.
I read off that they almost get busted by, and they're like, oh, fuck, type of thing, and...
Yeah. But apparently, like, if you know, with issue one, they go through with it and they're still getting fucked.
Right.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. I need to go back to reading. That was a lot of fun to read. I really liked it. Okay.
Any other comics?
I have some collectible stuff I want to talk about, but...
All right, well, so do I.
Cool. Do you want to go first or want me to go first? Yours is probably more legendary, but...
I'm going to...
Legendary Pictures. See what it did there?
Corsera?
Corsera! No.
He's talking about fucking Godzilla. So, I've been picking up these Lego Micro Fighter kits. They're pretty cool. They're small. They're about 97 to 100 pieces each.
Oh, shit. The wings move?
Yeah, man. The wings fold down and everything. See that?
That's pretty sweet.
But they've got a series out right now, and it's an X-Wing, Millennium Falcon, a TIE Interceptor, a Star Destroyer, and then there's some, like, ground vehicle that I don't know if it's just a kit or if it's actually appeared somewhere before.
It's from the Clone Wars.
Is it? Or the Stormtrooper?
It's okay. A clone trooper.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay. So, and then they've got the big fucking tan tank that you see in
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace with the little droid that drives it. So I picked up the X-Wing, Millennium Falcon, Star Destroyer, and TIE Interceptor. They're pretty cool. They're just like mini versions of the ships that the pilot sits directly into.
Very cartoonish.
Very cartoonish. And they all have flick missiles on them, so you can flick and, you know, flick the missiles out and fight each other. And I guess there's like an iPad app or something for it.
Really?
Not that these like play into that at all that I could tell, but there's an app like kind of based around it. But they're cool. They're fun little builds, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. I think they look kind of nice. Our buddy JJ. He modified his Millennium Falcon to look more like just like a little mini model of the Millennium Falcon, as opposed to having the Lego guy sitting in the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of kept I don't have like the Lego resources he does to do anything like that. But
JJ's got mad resources.
I kind of dig Legos. It because the X-Wing, you know, comes with an X-Wing pilot. Millennium Falcon comes with a Han Solo.
Well, the minifigs alone, when you buy those in a blind bag, they're like $6 or $7.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only reason, like, I have no interest in getting the tank with the droid thing, but I'm tempted to get the ground vehicle with the clone trooper because I like that minifig too.
Oh man, did you guys finish that series?
No, not yet. But then the Star Destroyer comes with I don't know what you'd even call him. Help me out here, Lucas. Just like a
admiral,
an admiral or a commander that would be on the ship, and then the TIE Interceptor comes with a Empire pilot. It's cool.
They're pretty rad, especially for $10 or $12.
Yeah, they're $10. They're
nice. Need a Lego sweet. To itch that spot.
Yeah, I saw the pictures online, and I'm like, but when I see them up close, I'm like, I kind of want to go buy this.
Yeah, they're $9.99 a piece. They're, you know, I built them each in like, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour while I'm watching TV.
But these are the kind too that you could take apart, put them in a baggie with the instruction thing, and then it's just like a puzzle to have, you know?
Him. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I've kept all the instructions and stuff just to kind of, if I ever need to disassemble them or anything like that. But so they're really cool. I would encourage anyone who just wants to find like a good cheap little mini Lego that would look good on like an office desk or something like that.
They're definitely good desk ornaments.
Yeah, this is like perfect for that kind of stuff. So
I flipped a dude's wig.
Man, I want to talk about, before Tom talks, those Spider-Man figures. I've been tracking down more of those.
I actually want to interrupt that, and I want Tyson to talk about.
He's excited.
I'm very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy Lego figs.
Oh yeah,
I want to hear about those. So Adam, also known as is he
Sithbot?
Sithbot, yep. He's been on the podcast a few times.
Mm-hmm.
He just posted a thing that Guardians of the Galaxy Lego sets are coming out, and they actually look pretty awesome. They come with ships. They're spread out across three different sets if you want to collect all of the Guardians. But one of them that I definitely want to pick up is the one that comes with Rocket Raccoon and Groot. It's like some sort of vehicle and stuff, but Groot isn't actually like a minifig. It's not like how they've got the Hulk minifig, how it's a bigger figure.
Right.
Groot's an actual Lego build.
Oh, that's interesting.
Character that you do with like articulation and stuff. So it looks pretty cool. I've been on this Lego kick. I was kind of like, today I went and bought the Star Destroyer kit because that was the next one I want to get. And I was kind of looking around at Target, like at some of the other, like the superhero. Like Star Wars isn't really like a huge thing for me. I'm not going to drop any more like the $10 on these sets. Like I like these and the construction of them and kind of like the campiness of them. I think they're fun. They look good on a shelf. But I was looking at some of the other superhero ones. They've got like a really cool Ultimate Spider-Man one out right now with Electro.
Yeah, they've done a couple. They did a Venom one too, like smaller $15 kits.
Yeah, exactly. So picking up those, looking at the Guardians of the Galaxy ones, it looks like it doesn't look like any of the three kits would be more than like $30 because it's like a bigger ship model and like another little thing and then a couple minifigs.
It's like the little Deadpool helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of something like that. Maybe a little bit bigger. And I think the Deadpool helicopter was like $20 or something like that. But
I'm getting them.
Yeah, no, they
didn't they do a MODOK? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, there's a MODOK one. It's the Hulk breakout kit. It's a little bit more expensive.
He's probably but I like think one it's of like these
a, guys. It's like a
$45
set, and it comes with a MODOK minifig.
Can you imagine with Age of Ultron coming up? Because the first Lego superhero Marvel was based on the Avengers,
right?
So this one you've got Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Ultron, all these other characters that we probably don't even know that they're sneaking into the movie.
Yeah,
exactly. Some cool Legos.
Yeah, definitely.
All
so
the cool stuff.
I'm definitely kind of getting back into the Lego thing with these. Just kind of like dipping my toes in the water right now with them before I invest in anything bigger. But
they'll go full penis pretty soon.
Yeah, any day now. Any day now. It's just, it comes back to the whole thing. We've talked about this before. Legos are just so fucking expensive sometimes for what they are.
Oh, they can be.
I can justify the turtle sets.
They're bitched to like dust and like if you want to keep them out or anything and then... Just all around. Yeah. They're pretty fun to have and to build, and then after that, it's
like, curio.
What the fuck do I do with this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to talk about these little ships. I think they're pretty cool. So
I think they're amazing.
They're a lot of fun. They're fun to build too. So,
yeah, I like them.
So I didn't bring any of them, but last time I brought those two Spider-Man figures, the Spectacular and the Superior.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, I've been able to track down the Spider-Woman character and the Electro character and Beetle. Well, and JJ's wife actually has helped me find a couple. She's like a toy bounty hunter because she trolls all these like Toys R Us and Target. So I'm like, oh, these are the three I want. She's like, ah.
I need to talk to her.
She's pretty awesome. So with each of those have come different body parts for the Green Goblin. I've got both his arms and both his legs and his torso. I just need to track down a Carnage because I think that the females and the symbiotes, they hadn't been shipping out yet. So I'm still trying to find a Carnage. He comes with the Green Goblin's head, but it's massive. It towers over the other characters at least
an inch
and a half.
So this is actually a separate piece that you get with each character that you can build a goblin. That's cool.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason, because it's all Spider-Man characters, and I'm a sucker for Spider-Man,
right.
And it's a sweet Ultimate Green Goblin, where he's a big fucking Hulk goblin, mm-hmm. And it comes with flames that you put on his arms and around his head. It's sweet. I posted a picture. I forgot you're not on social media.
No.
As far as anybody in the government's concerned.
Right. Well, I'm kind of impressed by that Hot Toys Captain America you put on my wall the other day. I was like, mother...
You're going to buy that, right?
Fuck, no.
It won't get you in as much trouble. A console you buy, you play games on it, it's taking time away from you and your wife, but a toy, you put it on the shelf, you just look at it sometimes.
Yeah, I just stare at it all the time.
It costs less than your Xbox.
Right. It is cheaper than an Xbox One.
And a PlayStation.
Yeah. See him sell me that? See that? He was just building value
Salesman.
With me. Yeah, right?
It is value. It doesn't talk. It only causes one fight, whereas that PlayStation will cause you fights for the rest of your, having it,
Yeah.
I'm just... You make the decision, whatever you think is best for your life. I think...
What you need is a Sandman figure, because then there's no arguments.
She's got some pretty nice Sandman figures.
Oh, okay.
Just, you sweeten the deal that way. Like, look, it was like two for one.
I think you need to bring up your Alien Pop figure, because you got a lot of compliments over it.
The thing was pretty fucking cool. Did we talk about it the last... I don't think I brought it, but there's a really cool Pop figure of a Xenomorph that if you don't have it, go find it. $10.
So the...
Good conversation starter.
The Captain America figure that they announced that you're talking about, and since I've seen the movie, it's not spoilery, but Cap, he works for S.H.I.E.L.D. and he does stealth ops missions, and so it's his stealth costume.
Right.
Where his shield has blues instead of red, because obviously on a stealth mission, you have this big red target. So it's a stealth ops mission, and then... it also comes with street clothes, Captain America,
right.
Steve Rogers, where he's got like a white shirt and dress
pants. Leather jacket. And
Yeah, and it comes with extra shields and
hands. And
it's pretty sweet. It's $330, which for two Hot Toys figures when they're normally like $220, you figure it's not too bad.
Off. Yeah, no, it's a hell of a deal for the
price. Tom, you should get that shit.
I was telling him all the fights that he won't have because he buys it and puts it on the shelf instead of a gaming console that every time he wants to play.
Yeah, but every time she walks in my office, you'll see $330 sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, but every time you play a game, it's like $400 plus another $60. And if she doesn't think about that, I'll explain it to her.
All right.
To make the Captain America better deal for
you. Will you come over after the podcast and help me out with this?
If you need a fight, I'll help you get into a fight.
Thanks, I appreciate it. You got my back.
And then I got that white Boba Fett figure. I don't know if you guys saw that on the social media.
That was what's Hot up Toys, with that, right?
Is it
it's the prototype.
I saw that.
So before Empire Strikes Back... I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Before Empire Strikes Back... They were testing out what Boba Fett should look like. And so the guy, I can't remember the designer's name, they hadn't painted any of it. And there's black and white footage of just a white Boba Fett. And before he comes out...
Wasn't that how he was in the holiday special?
No, he was like purples and greens. So they have it all set up and they're doing just like a screen test of him. And they're like, wait, he's supposed to have like a sash. We don't have anything ready for him here. And they take from the first Star Wars movie, the Star Wars merchandise towel, and he drapes that over his shoulder. And since that was kind of the gag, if you ordered it through Sideshow, you got that little towel to scale that you could put over his shoulder.
Nice.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's just the prototype, but it's pretty sweet being all white.
Did you see the full size Han and Carbonite they just announced?
No. How much is that?
They didn't say all the messages were like figures. How much? I need to know how much order. I need to put away.
Is it Sideshow?
Yeah, it is.
That's probably at least the Sideshow like 10 grand.
20th anniversary. Carbonite's not cheap, man.
Yeah. And that life system. Yeah, I bet it's five figures.
It looked pretty fucking sweet.
But you got some cool stuff recently.
Yeah, so Legendary sent us a pretty cool care package. It was Legendary.
It was awesome.
It was way cool. Kylie got to kind of tinker with it. Esteban actually ended up with a lot of it because I feel like he's the biggest Godzilla fan I've ever met.
We need to get that bitch on this podcast again.
She needs to get me drunk again.
We can do both at the same time.
They sent you this care package. And first of all, the box it... Whoa. Sorry, microphone. So the box it came in was fucking cool. It was this big cube, probably 1 foot by 1 foot square cube. And it's just dark and red and covered in like silhouettes and says Godzilla on it. And you're like, oh, fuck. So you open it up and on top there's this really rad Godzilla t-shirt. Gave it to Esteban. But then
it was really cool. I gave it.
Well, it fit him.
It's actually
didn't
a really
fit
cool shirt, though.
Yeah, so it's got, and they're going to be selling it for like $42. It's by Flex Tee, I think.
Jesus. Holy shit!
But it's got
$42.
It's like a $42 t-shirt, man. Yeah,
for a movie.
But it's a nice thin mesh. It's really light, but it's got a.
It's a comfy
shirt. Yeah, it's very comfortable.
Does it blow me?
Yeah.
Godzilla.
It's got Godzilla, but then the spines, like his spikes up
say
his back,
Godzilla.
Spell out Godzilla. It's a really cool design.
It doesn't look.
You have to know that to see it. It's nice. Yeah, like when I read the press thing, I was like, oh, it spells Godzilla? Oh, it fucking does. Like, it's really kind of subtle.
Yeah, it is very subtle.
Yeah,
it took me a while, but I'm like, oh my God.
They did a great job.
I didn't even notice until you pointed it out.
Yeah. It's sick. And then they sent us in there. There was, and I'm going to say my favorite two things for last, but then they sent us a Godzilla figure, and it's going to be $15. And it's not super articulate, but like you squeeze his chest and the tail whips back and forth. But it's really cool.
It's
8 inches tall, 9 inches tall. Nice big figure. Esteban's son drug it around by the tail for days. I'm pretty excited. But then they sent us the minifigs, and I can't think of who's making them.
It's not Mizzet, is it?
It's not a Mizzet figure. Fuck, I should have brought the press release with me. But basically, there's three sets of them you can get, and you get each one has Godzilla in a different pose, and it's probably about an inch tall. It looks a lot kind of like, almost like these little mini...
Are
like,
they like Kubrick, or...?
Yeah,
it's
they're more detailed.
It's a mixture between Kubrick and Mizzet.
Yeah,
but
I don't...
It's a company, when you showed it to me, like...
It was a Japanese... I almost want to say Namco, but it wasn't Namco, but it's very...
Bandai?
Yeah, it was Bandai. Yep. It was Namco Bandai. And so these little figures, but anyway,
they
get...
They do some cool shit. They do some Mega Man ones I've wanted forever.
Yeah, they're sick. And so you get... Each one has Godzilla in a different pose, and then it comes with the little new alien monster thing. And they don't name it anywhere on the packaging. I read every piece of fine print on the packaging.
I think you're right.
Which I think
too,
they
before that they
during,
have other monsters in the film.
Yeah, they do. And I think and well, in talking about it, somebody was mentioning they were looking into it, and some guys from Godzilla came out and said that the thing you see go into the ocean isn't Rodan. It's a.
It's not. It's a whole new creature. Esteban that was from South by Southwest was saying that it's a whole different creature.
But
that,
those are going to be like $9, and they were actually one of my favorite parts of the box, because they're just little like pop like little figures, probably an inch tall, and they're just little painted Godzilla, and they just look fucking cool, like chibi, like little chibi Robo figure type things.
You were trying sweet. To give them to me. I'm like, dude, yeah, Kylie, I think Esteban. Them. Esteban would be the bigger guy.
Yeah, so. He got a lot of stuff off me. So then it came with a flashlight. I don't know if you're gonna be selling the maglite on, but it's a little mini mag light.
That was cool.
And it says Godzilla across the side of it, and then
had
the
battery, that little cone you could attach to it for the flare effect.
Yep. And then the battery said a Green Star Industries on it. So instead of being energized,
it looked like a Duracell, but it.
And then
that's cool.
My favorite part was actually this little tin.
What about the stickers part?
Okay, well, we'll get into that. So then there's this tin, and you peel the tin open. It's a Godzilla survival kit. And you open the tin, and there's a little bag of tea. There's like this fucking like bouillon cube that's supposed to be like a tofu block or something for seasoning. There's a tiny fish hook, a mini compass, a razor blade, a string for the fish hook. Like, it's a total fucking joke. And a rape whistle.
But yeah, there's a little whistle. There's duct tape. There's a
duct tape, a blanket. With the shiny side. There's a little mini Godzilla's blanket.
Godzilla's fucking stomping through the fucking city. You're like,
there's a fucking rape whistle in it.
Like, and everyone's like, I know.
So that was my favorite part. I laughed for like 10 minutes. But then, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but Kylie had shown me the Godzilla commercial. And so I reached to the bottom and pull out a fucking Snickers bar.
Oh,
which just had me in tears, because you guys have seen the commercial. Like, basically, they're like, it's these guys like partying with Godzilla, and they're like, oh, he's just pretty cool. They're like, yeah, then he gets hungry. And then he's like tearing apart the fucking city, and the guy throws a Snickers in his mouth, and then he's like jet skiing. So it's just really funny. And so they give
it's old, like classic Godzilla.
So it was a really cool thing, but all that stuff's going to be coming out along with it. But honestly, I think from a collectible standpoint, those little Namco Bandai chibi figures were the fucking coolest. And nice. I'll probably go hunt down the other two sets to fill my collection. So
cool. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to have a little discussion about what comic series we want to see made into a Marvel movie. So stick around.
Hi, this is Mike Pilot.
And this is Brian Young with the Full of Sith podcast.
And Kinsetta Parker couldn't join us for this little promo right now. She had to run off and do some important work at Rancho Obi-Wan. But let me tell you, if you listen to our podcast, Full of Sith, these are the kind of things that you're going to hear.
Yeah, that's basically his entire move. That's what he does. J.J. Abrams makes movies that feel like Spielberg.
Because if you work at Lucasfilm for almost a decade, it's kind of like beaten into you. It's like boot camp.
But I like that movie, and I think most people do. And you shouldn't let that kind of stuff get to you. And you don't want to know what his reaction was?
It's a dream come true. I'm on a Tauntaun.
No, he knew he was going to make it. He did the electric slide before. He knows what it's like to do the big, what is that called? The big wet and ride or whatever it's called.
The slip and slide.
Yeah, the slip and slide. Yeah. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
He knew. He absolutely knew.
The worst thing Luke lost there was his masturbation hand. And then they gave him a robotic hand that probably doesn't get tired. And I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true. I don't know. He handled it better, Travis.
Okay.
I'm waving it back at the loss of his hand.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy, and we shall have peace.
I don't know what that was. Star Wars podcast. You can check us out on iTunes or FullOfSith.com. We're everywhere.
And you're full of
Sith. This is just Marvel, right?
Yeah.
It can be DC.
Well, why?
But let's talk Marvel.
So here's the thing.
So with Cap 2 just coming out,
we've slowly realize that Marvel can do whatever the fuck they want and print money. They're doing the Winter Soldier, which I saw, and it was terrible, but they still did it. And while like DC can't pull their shit together,
spoiler alert, motherfucker.
It's 2 weeks after shit. We're out. DC can't pull together a Wonder Woman movie because they don't feel that audiences are ready for it. Marvel's like, fuck, let's put some raccoons, a talking tree. We're going to get Vin Diesel out of the closet. Yeah.
Hey, somebody make a Twitter account that says, I am Groot. You on that? I'm on that. Let's do this.
Right, like, yeah, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want.
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
So since they're on this hot streak, I thought, well, what are some of our favorite comic stories that might have before seemed too outlandish to be made into a movie, even of characters that they don't necessarily own? It could be characters outside of that. We could talk about Bendis doing Daredevil stuff. for the series that they have coming out, or touch on Kraven's Last Hunt. I don't know. That's the idea I had for this discussion. And Jimmy, I don't know. Are you ready to go first?
No. Because both of those, I've got to decide which one I want to talk about.
Okay, I'll start it off.
Okay, you start it off, and we'll talk very little as we all think of which ones we want.
I got kind of two.
Okay.
My first one is I want to see the Daredevil story of... And I can't fucking think of it, the name of it. It's the one where Kingpin just, like, fucking dismantles him.
Born Again.
Ugh. Like, that's what I want to say.
Cool. The Frank Miller one?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
It's down there. Should be.
It's somewhere. All up in that.
Grab, like, there's Daredevil, like, a couple, Legends? There's a couple Daredevil trades there. Right there. No, that's not that one.
You sure?
That's not the one I'm talking about.
That looks like it.
Because that's the show.
No, it is.
That's Born Again. Yeah.
That's not it. That's not my dick.
Yeah.
I've never seen that dick before.
So,
you sure it's a test?
Born Again was really, really good. It was, so for those not familiar, this came out in like 87, I think.
Yeah.
Cafe Rio Card Mission. With one fucking stamp on it.
He bought the meal while he read that book.
Yeah. So, essentially what happens is Kingpin finds out that Matt Murdock is Daredevil and proceeds to just dismantle his life.
It's brilliant.
Like, from like a psychological level. Like, not brute force. Like, he just goes after him in like all these different ways to fuck with his life. Hurt his friends, hurt him.
Makes his girl a whore.
Yeah. Gets his girlfriend fucking hooked back on drugs and back being a whore. All this shit, and just dismantles his life. And it culminates in an awesome, like, final throwdown. Like, Matt Murdock stands up to be Daredevil again and just decides to whoop the shit out of Kingpin.
This is what I was hoping when they did the movies.
With the fucking flag on his face. What was his name again?
Flag. Man?
I think it's just Flag, isn't it?
No, it's...
We're not talking the Captain America guy. We're talking something else.
It's the same guy.
Nuke.
That's Nuke.
There you go.
Nuke, yeah. He's in the new Cap run.
Throwdown. Yeah.
They bring Nuke into this?
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to read that shit.
This is like Nuke's...
Nuke's the guy who started all the Civil War shit, isn't it?
No.
Isn't that Nuke?
No.
Who the hell was that?
He's the guy who popped the pills. He's got like the white pill.
It was a different... It was a mutant that could like explode.
So in this, Nuke... He comes into Matt's city.
And just starts shooting.
He's killing people. He's fucking killing people. Yeah. And Matt's just like freaking out. He's like, I gotta stop this. It's so good.
And Cap comes in.
Captain America comes in
to help him out. So it's really good. For me, like, this isn't what I want to see like right out of the gates for Daredevil, because I think you need to have the character established first before you can break him down.
So at some point, this is a movie.
This is like I could see them doing this even like a season two. Right, because most of you probably know, there's a Daredevil series coming to Netflix along with a bunch of others from Marvel. They're throwing a fuck ton of money at these too, but this is something that like I could see them doing the ability to do this even as soon as season two, because this happens pretty on in Matt Murdock's career. I think you would need a solid season two. Grow with the character and sympathize with the character, because he's such a tragic character, for you to give a shit about him being torn down. If you let off with this as season one, you're going to be like, why the fuck should I care that much? You know, you're not that invested. This is something that once you're invested in the character, to see this happen to him is fucking tragic. It's
probably the one of the...
It's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah, so that's really good. So I'd like to see that eventually come down the pipeline from Marvel. My other thing is, this shouldn't come as much of a shock, I just want to see Deadpool get some fucking love from Marvel, because...
But is there, like, a particular story?
Merc with a mouth.
Night of the Living Deadpool.
So the scroll shit was hilarious, too.
That's actually what I was going to say. The scroll stuff?
That was great.
That was pretty good.
Because they bring in Deadpool... They pretty much like, all right, look, you're fucking crazy. Just go out there and fucking kill as many Skrulls as you can. Take down this ship. There's this ship over here. You know what? Here's just a bunch of fucking guns and rocket launchers. Go nuts. And that's what he does. And that's that one issue where, like, As he's like coming down into like this stadium where there's a bunch of scrolls, he sees it, like you see it through his eyes, and he sees it as like an 8-bit video game. Yeah. And he's like scoring points for killing all these scrolls and shit. Like, that's awesome. Like, I would love to see something like that. Of course, you know, that ties into like the scroll stuff that you'd have to get into first. But,
right, but that's any story. I don't care about continuity. Yeah,
they just stick with Scott Pilgrim, though.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. It was good to see, like, because, you know, Deadpool's, he's very much an anti-hero, right? Like, he follows the money, but generally, you know, he does more or less the right thing. Like, he fights for the good guys more often than not, right? But in his own unique way. And he may not, they may not appreciate the way he did the job, but he got the job done. So it was really fun to see, I think it was S.H.I.E.L.D. that came to him, right? Like, we're doing a scroll invasion, and S.H.I.E.L.D. just say, like, look, you are just the right amount of fucked up that we need for this mission. So go nuts. Just go be yourself. Anyone with green skin and a weird looking fucking chin,
kill him.
Yeah. And so that was awesome. It's not often you see him cut loose with
Didn't he go after something? Didn't he go after like Impossible Man because he had green skin and a weird chin?
Yeah.
Because of that.
He almost killed him because he just like went on this fucking rampage, just started shooting. I mean, he took down like an entire scroll ship by himself.
I will say, like, that and the year after that was probably like the best from him, or the best like character. Like,
yeah. And unfortunately, they're kind of starting to move, I think, into the campy stuff with him getting married this year and shit like that.
But that scroll stuff. I like the whole secret invasion stuff. I thought that was really good.
Secret invasion was a lot of fun. But so those are kind of my two that I would like to see. You know, obviously, those are my two favorite heroes from the Marvel Universe, by and large. So
very good.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Kylie, are you ready?
Sure. The two I'd like to see, but it won't happen because of
no one cares legal about rights. Thing. No, Lucas, no, go ahead.
That's
actually
perfect world. You want to see on the screen the story.
Being a kid growing up, Secret War was one of my big things, but you have so many different franchises and different places at that point. Infinity Gauntlet, which I think they're kind of building up to eventually.
I think you're going towards that in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Did you read the Prelude issue?
I haven't yet.
She's talking about trying to hunt down one of the stones.
Nice.
So. Excellent.
But if I have to really pick one that I can legitimately see eventually coming on a screen is World War Hulk.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. They need to build up. They need to do Civil War. They need to do all that shit. But they need to build up to that.
I think I've heard them talk or that rumored for Phase 3. But like
it was rumored and then it was kind of debunked.
Yeah.
But at this point, didn't he say Kevin Feige that there's movies planned out through 2028?
Yeah, 2028. But then you got Mark Ruffalo being a hippie, like, I want Hulk's next movie to be about saving the environment.
Oh, did he say that?
Ruffalo.
You didn't hear about that?
He's the best Hulk.
Yeah. He is the best
Hulk. Nobody scare him away.
I got nothing but love for the guy, but it's like, nah, I want to see Hulk smash.
Yeah, he is. That's what he does. But Hulk has been one of those characters over the years, kind of like Fantastic Four, where it's like, I hear people like, you need to read this. And I'll read a certain thing. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good. And then it kind of gets shitty. Yeah. And it's kind of off and on. But I can't remember who got me into this. But it was basically the storyline. I think Bruce Jones was writing it. And it was a storyline where Hulk went on a rampage like he always does.
Right.
But the story got out that when one of these buildings he knocked over, he killed a little girl. And everyone was out for, you know, we need to get the Hulk, God damn it. But in reality, you think all the rampages he go on, he kills a lot of people. Knocking over buildings.
One little girl's not going
to
set that off.
But this big story, you know, started out with, like, he needs to be brought in, and it's basically Bruce Banner on the run. And it's kind of not the Ang Lee Hulk, but the Marvel Universe, the Incredible Hulk, where he's kind of on the run, and there's this Mr. Blue helping him out, which ended up, in the comic book, ended up being Captain America trying to help him out and do the right thing. But you find out at the end that it was all a hoax. He didn't really kill somebody. They were just kind of fucking with him to kind of set him off a little bit, which led into Planet Hulk, where the Illuminati sent him off into space, which was awesome. I kept reading from there because I liked that Bruce Jones storyline. And Planet Hulk kind of went on a little too long, I thought. But when they brought him, back to Earth,
animated movie though,
yeah,
Planet Hulk, it was pretty good.
But when they brought him back to Earth to just fuck the people who sent him there, just fuck their shit up. It was, and it was five issues. It was just a, quick thing, and it was just carnage and mayhem and awesomeness.
I remember.
I want to see that. The and how it started out when he's just kind of like surfing that asteroid back to Earth, and he stops on the moon. And that's where the Inhumans are, and Black Bolt comes out. And he's facing down Black Bolt, and Black Bolt just like screams at him, and he's standing there after the end, and he's like, and just beats the shit out of him. Like, right, that was the beginning of it all. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. So I'd like to see something like that.
As a quick aside, true or false, movie Hulk works better as less the brainless monster that he is in the comics sometimes, more with how he's been portrayed, like in the Avengers, where there's still
a little bit there.
Like, he's still a little bit aware. There's still a little bit of Bruce Banner in there. While I love just the brainless fucking rampaging Hulk, as far as movie translations go, I think it works a little bit better whenever, at least whenever they're trying to portray Hulk as a hero.
Well, right? He's going to be a part of the team.
A member of the Avengers, that he's got a little bit of that self-awareness
in there. Yeah, and from what I get from the little things we see from Avengers where he's on the rampage and the Avengers are trying to stop him, I think it's that where he still knows enough, but he can go off the edge pretty quick.
Yeah, see,
the McFarlane stuff, the Peter David and McFarlane stuff, where he's in Vegas and he's Mr. Fix-It, and he's Hulk, but he has the brain.
Yeah, he's got the brain.
You know, that conveys well in the comic book.
Yeah,
David.
I don't know how it would convey in the movie.
I was just going to add that David actually wrote a lot of stuff where he's fighting. He's fighting himself constantly. Yeah. So I don't know.
I'd like to see them. I mean, we'll get to you, Luke, right now. But I'm just saying, like, I would like to see a little bit more of. Like that struggle, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, it's good too.
To play it out on the screen. I mean, you see it a little bit more, but just to see that.
That's where, like, the gray Hulk comes from.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, right. Mr. Fix-It. Yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be cool if, like, the next standalone Hulk movie, whenever that finally comes down, that they maybe explore, like, a gray, like, introduce a gray
Hulk. I kind of feel they're waiting. They're kind of, they're treading water to see how he does.
But see, I don't think they need to do that anymore, because everyone, like,
I don't think they do either.
The Avengers was like, the Hulk is fucking awesome. Like,
I don't, you know, he's got, like, the best moment of complexity of it, right? because he is a complex character, even though it seems so, like, brute, like Hulk smash. Like, he's so much more complex if you read,
like, and it would play off more like the whole
Peter David stuff,
the whole comment that I'm always angry, right? Like, let's dive into that a little bit more.
And Banner is fighting to get a hold of that. It's just a conflict within himself.
I think he's going to have a bigger part in the Avengers. I won't spoil anything, but in Captain America, they make a lot of references to Bruce Banner. So I think that he will have a pretty big part. And then some of the stuff that they've shot, that we've seen production shots, are of Hulk rampaging, like cars flipping and shit.
Yeah.
You were going to say?
No, that's it.
But to go back to the big one I really liked was Infinity Gauntlet.
That was damn good.
You're going to get that, it sounds like.
It will, but the way, if you've ever read it.
I don't think we're going to get it. We'll
get it to a point.
You're going
to
get a version of it.
Exactly, yeah. We'll get a version of it. But the way the Infinity Gauntlet, it's the surfer that ends the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
but fucking everyone's in it.
But Marvel doesn't have Surfer.
Surfer, Spider-Man.
I thought that was. Didn't they have negotiations Wolverine? To where they had access to certain characters?
It was the Daredevil thing. Daredevil was up, and they said, "Well,
Daredevil."
They were trying to whip out a Daredevil movie before the rights were up, and Marvel said, "Hey, we'll let you take your time to do a Daredevil movie if you give us the rights to Galactus and Surfer." And they said, "Nope." So Marvel got the rights to Daredevil back.
Gotcha. That would be awesome.
It would be
fucking
sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah, it would.
So, Luke.
God, that's it. Both of you with fucking good ones.
I can't say that I pulled two off the top of my head. You guys had some pretty good ones. I mean, Civil War is up there, but I think we're going to get that at some point.
Yeah.
And they're definitely built towards that in
the Cap. The last.
The shittiest Marvel movie.
It's terrible. But, Civil War would be.
I want my money back already. I haven't seen it.
I think, like, you know, seeing Iron Man lobotomize himself and that whole struggle with Civil War would be fucking sweet.
What?
But, yeah. He has the list. In Civil War, Tony Stark has the list of all the, you know, they have to go register in Civil War. He's got the list.
Right.
So he lobotomizes himself. Am I the only one that's read Civil War recently?
I think so.
Recently.
I don't remember happening.
It was Secret Invasion, then Civil War, right?
It was.
I remember him losing his.
It might have been rolling into Siege that he does it, but at some point, Tony Stark wipes his memory so that nobody.
There's a whole storyline where he has to get his memory back.
Secret Invasion, then Civil War.
He does it.
That's what I thought.
I think Secret Invasion came after Civil War.
No, because
you're right. No, because Secret Avengers.
People disguising themselves like
that's not what Civil War started.
It was Civil War and then Secret Invasion. It was Norman Osborn that came and killed the Skrull Queen, and they were like, "Oh, you're our hero," and that's what led into everything else.
Yeah, Secret.
So
Invasion
Civil War happened before all that.
So Civil War, I'd touch on, but I think they're going to do that anyhow. A Spider-Man story, because I have to be the guy to bring up a Spider-Man story. I'm not going to talk about that one. Though there's one that's lesser known. At the beginning of the Spectacular Spider-Man run, Spider-Man's going around town and he's trying to solve these murders, and these people are dying, and they have these punctures in their back, and their adrenal glands are just sucked dry. No. Their adrenal glands are sucked dry, right?
That sounds familiar.
So Spider-Man's trying to figure out what's going on as more and more people are dying, and it's more like athletic people. So then you come to find out that the symbiote Venom on Eddie Brock, it's been feeding off his adrenaline glands, right? Mm-hmm. And it's essentially sucked him dry, and like he's got cancer and he started to die. And on the one hand side of the story, you've got Eddie Brock kind of like praying to God and trying to find some kind of answer or salvation and going to church. And on the other hand, he's dying and the symbiote's sucking off other people but getting ready to leave him. And it wants to be back with Spider-Man, and that's
sucking off other people.
And that's why the symbiote liked Spider-Man or being a part of Spider-Man, because he was superhuman. So you know that he would never run dry, kind of a thing. And so that like murder mystery of trying to figure out who it was, and then him trying to get rid of the symbiote, but then also not wanting to get rid of the symbiote. And when it leaves him essentially being dead. Like after it's gone, it's the only thing keeping him alive. So seeing it from either like Peter's point of view, trying to solve the mysteries, or maybe from Eddie Brock's point of view, is he's just trying to survive. And maybe that could be an interesting movie where it's like there's these murders going around and it's from Eddie Brock's point of view, but you don't really see Venom. Venom is like a monster that you don't see off camera of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I always thought that was a pretty interesting story arc that could make a cool Spider-Man movie.
All right, so we're going to bring it back to me. Because you bringing up Spectacular Spider-Man just made me remember, and I was trying to find the trade, but I think it might be upstairs still in one of my comic boxes. It's the I think you were the one who showed it to me, or vice versa, but it was drawn by one of my favorites, Humberto Ramos.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yep, and it's the one where Green Goblin and Peter Parker just finally decide, you know what? We've been dancing around this for years. We're just going to fucking beat the shit out of each other until one of us is dead. Like, that's...
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the end of it.
What was that?
I think it's just called Return of the Goblin, too.
Yeah, something like that. I know I've got it.
And they're beating the shit out of each other to the point where Peter has his mask off, and then they both are just start laughing. And yeah, they sit down laughing next to each other.
He's got his mask off, and like by the time they sit down and start laughing, like... Peter's eye is like just completely swollen shut. Goblin's like just got blood all over him and stuff like that. I mean,
that's a good one.
Like, I mean, there's at one point where like Goblin's like got Peter's head down in the water in the sewer, just trying to fucking drown him.
I mean, can you imagine that fucking movie?
Yeah, well,
that would kill.
I know. And the thing is one of the things I really liked about it, Spider-Man's got such a cool fighting style, right? Jumping all over the place, shit talking the guy to kind of take him out of the fight. Using his webs and stuff like this. This was not that kind of fight. It was like, all right, I'm going to stand here and you're going to stand in front of me, and we're just going to sit here and fucking trade blows until one of us goes down. And it ends with insinuating that like Goblin perhaps commits suicide. He, after all this, like, cause they end up not killing one another.
Yeah.
They kind of just say like, in fact, they actually like it. They start laughing and stuff. And then they actually almost kind of like talk about how, like, they actually have, like, a really deep relationship, and Norman's almost been kind of a father to Peter, you know, before all this shit happened, and Peter like actually goes on to like this like really like beautiful thing, like, when you took Gwen away from me, like, that was like the worst thing you could have possibly done. And then right. Norman says something about it, like, almost kind of like, that's not how that was meant to go, or so. It's been a while since I've read the trade, but I just remember that it's like actually like this really, for lack of a better term, I know it sounds kind of weird, like, touching moment between the two of them. I mean, you've got Spider-Man sitting there. I mean, Peter sitting there as Spider-Man. You got Norman. He's sitting there as the Green Goblin. And they're just, like, talking about, like, this weird, fucked-up relationship that they have. And by the end of it, you know, Peter pretty much says, like, you know what? You being you is perhaps the worst punishment. Like, that's even worse punishment than death.
Right.
And he talks about how he's responsible for Harry's death and all this stuff, and like pretty much like sends him on this huge guilt trip. And then that's when Norman, it's like the next day, and he's in his office at Oscorp, and it ends with him opening a drawer, and there's a handgun in there. And then the last shot of the comic book is right outside his office in the building, and there's no like bang, you know, bubble or anything like that, but you see like a bunch of birds like flying off of the windowsill of his office, thinking like, oh,
something loud happened.
Yeah, something loud happened. But that would be an awesome Spider-Man story. Like, you know, like
it would be an art house Spider-Man film.
Well, it'd be like a great, it'd be like a great like third movie cap off to a trilogy. Like, over the course of like him having to deal with the Green Goblin, you know, in the shadows and stuff like that. I would love to see like this amazing Spider-Man, this current incarnation of it, like in the third one, if there's still a Green Goblin around.
Something
just
like that.
Trading blows, just beating the shit out of each other. So, I mean, that's one thing we don't really get in this, is like, I want to see like a, like this emotional fight between some of these superheroes, where it's like, I'm not using any of my tricks. I'm not using any of my, you know, I'm just going to sit here with my fist and beat the shit out of you.
I don't think you've seen that since like Amazing, or since Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
I think when he goes after Doc Ock is the first.
Right. Yeah. But so sorry to interject with the third one there, Tom.
Well, man, I'm not very good at these ones, but I'm gonna go with, I feel
Winter
like
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, they should make a Winter Soldier.
I think they should make a Winter Soldier.
No, I think,
like that first Cap movie. So they should do a second one.
They should do a second one, right? A sequel. I think, you know, they could do some really cool shit on the X-Men side of things if they actually followed this new Ultimate X-Men arc.
Or like a Days of Future Past.
No, seriously, like, fuck Days of Future Past. I want to see...
No, fuck that.
I want to see a knockdown, drag-out fight between Jean Grey and Kitty Pryde. Like, I think they can make a really cool Rebel Uprising-style movie. I get that the whole core of X-Men is the struggle of mutant versus human, right? But that was something I really liked about Ultimate X-Men, is was actually the mutant versus mutant, yeah, where Chan had gone so far off the fucking reservation that they were almost genocidal themselves, and Kitty Pryde is this person that has to make that tough judgment call. And I think that can make a really interesting movie where you may see some of the human politics pressuring it, but watching Kitty Pryde have to make some kind of decision like that to finally like essentially nuke Chan with that giant fucking railgun, and that knockdown battle. I just think there's just some really cool stuff that could be shown through that. So that's something for me, and I'm surprised Kylie didn't say it, but I don't know how they would do it, but I think if they followed this latest run of, like, Swamp Thing, it would be really fucking out there. But
I thought we were talking Marvel, goddammit.
Well, they said DC's doable, so we'll say some of the geniuses from Marvel got hired by DC, because we know current DC guys couldn't fucking do it.
I think Swamp Thing would be a very hard thing to do.
It would be hard, but if you could do it right, like this, yeah. Have you read the Scott Snyder run of
get
current?
Get Darren Aronofsky to do a Swamp Thing.
There you go.
See?
Probably the one guy that can do it.
And like, make it like, because this latest one, like the first 19 issues, I mean, you've got the whole Arcane thing going on, you've got at points fucking Batman mutated by the dark. I mean, they could go anywhere with it. And I think it could be a really, really interesting thing to watch. And then I still think that fucking Thomas Jane short needs to become a full-length movie of Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, that same guy who did the Venom one was amazing.
Yeah. Those are just my side notes.
I have another one.
I think Swamp Thing and Ultimate X-Men, I think, could make really incredible stories.
So, Jimmy, my second one before Jimmy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. Early on in the Ultimate series, they introduced like the Ultimate characters, and it was a whole to-do, and they were almost celebrities, where Nick Fury set them up, and they're going to take care of the world and save the world. And at the same time, you had Ultimate X-Men going on, and they're kind of like the bastard children of the world, and they're not outlaws, but everybody kind of pretends that they're not there while Xavier is creating his own X-Men team, right? Something happens. I can't remember what the catalyst is, but because like America as a whole doesn't care or like mutants, and this thing happened, I can't remember. Nick Fury says, all right, Ultimates, you got to go in and take out the X-Men. You need to like bring in Xavier, bring in these guys, and we're going to lock them up. Like, they've gone too far. I can't remember what it is, but it's like a 6-issue story arc where it's the Ultimates versus the X-Men, and it was fucking awesome. I think you might have read it.
Was that recently?
No. This was way back like when we were in college. And so you had like Wolverine. The Ultimates come down on New York, and they're trying to take out the X-Men. And you've got like Thor fighting Storm, and you've got Wolverine on this motorcycle, and he's going up the parking garage, and then he hits the edge of the parking garage and flies onto Iron Man and beats the shit out of him and rips up his armor. That would be a sweet movie. That's how they could do like Avengers 2, and then have that be how they bring in the X-Men for Avengers 3. Like, all right, we've got these established characters that are awesome, and these X-Men are kind of the bastards. Let's take them out.
That'd be cool.
That'd be neat.
Jimmy.
James.
Jimmy Jam.
Garth Ennis did a Ghost Rider book. I know you can laugh right
Trail
there.
Trail of Tears?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's a Western with Ghost Rider.
Tell us a little about it.
That could be good.
No, yeah. No, instead of a anything motorcycle, can be better than the... Right.
It's just a fucking what horse. But it's a tale of...
Yeah, we already saw that. They made that in the first movie.
It's a tale of slavery. It's like if Django was the Ghost Rider
kind of thing. Is this the one where he's... stuck in hell, and he just keeps kind of repeating getting out and going back. And
yep.
Yes, that's awesome.
So it's set in the time of slavery, and
it's like Groundhog's Day with Ghost Rider. Exactly.
That's exactly.
It's just really, really awesome. It's kind of like a Clint Eastwood movie, but with Django. So you got a town that hates a guy, but he's protecting the place, and yeah. I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
That's what you came up with.
I got a second one too.
All right. No.
J. Michael Straczynski did a Silver Surfer book.
Requiem?
Yes, Requiem. Silver Surfer has cancer or something that's going to kill him.
It's his equivalent of cancer,
yes,
basically.
Yes. And Reed,
Cosmic
and Reed,
cancer.
Yeah. So anyway,
Cosmic Web MD diagnose it?
Yeah.
You have cancer.
I stubbed my toe. Oh, I'm going to die.
All the cancer.
So basically, Surfer's going around telling people bye, and
I've heard about this.
It was a great
story. It was the first comic to actually make me cry, so definitely that one. No, for real.
Good. No, it was good.
Didn't you make fun of me for being emotional about Spider-Man earlier?
This one made me.
This is Surfer. God damn it!
I just want you to know.
That's Spider-Man Blue for me.
I could pull that card right now, but I'm not.
Every time I read Spider-Man Blue.
So, they're re-releasing a hardcover collection of yellow, blue, and gray in one big hardcover.
Nice, because I've already got yellow and blue. I don't give a shit about gray, but I'll get that.
Gray was good.
Daredevil yellow, yeah, I got that shit.
Daredevil yellow was really good.
Lobo,
it was a good series.
So yeah, Straczynski for Requiem and Garth Ennis for Trail of Tears.
So speaking of which, Daredevil yellow would be a good.
Lobo. I never read yellow.
Oh, really? It's good.
I got it. You can take it if you want to.
You know what?
I'll never get to it.
Do they ever? And this is
I appreciate it. I'm just so far behind.
This has nothing to do with the films to come, but it's in comics. So I just want to ask it, and if there's no answer, fine. If a listener knows it, tweet at me. So I believe it's in 1692.
So tweet at it.
No. I know what you're reading. In the 1692 series,
that's
right?
Good. That's
1602.
Good.
I thought.
1602. Sorry, excuse me. I've read it once.
1602.
But there's a traveler.
The Neil Gaiman thing, right?
Yeah. That's why I've read it, because my wife has it. But there's a traveler. Who essentially is Thor, right? Because he's got the hammer or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that... Did they ever expound on that? Anybody thoughts? No? Anyone?
Dude, it's been so long since...
Yeah, I know.
It was like 10 years
ago. I know. I'm pulling this reference out, but it just kind of hit me. Like, I thought that whole like idea of this traveler is Thor and he's got some burden he carries with him. I just thought that'd be really cool to see expand. And I haven't read a lot of Thor comics, so... If someone's found that, if someone's read it, do tweet at me. I'd love to go pick up that series.
Bonerville.
Straczynski
Speaking
Thor,
of...
put that in a movie.
Yeah, Straczynski's Thor, where Asgard's floating over Kansas or whatever it was. Yeah.
Isn't that... They do that in Siege, too.
Yeah, no, that's
like
where it
is. That's the conclusion of it. Because that's
when Asgard's going to fall. During Siege.
Which is sick.
Norman Osborn is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. That could be a movie on his own.
Is that him as Iron Patriot?
And his
right?
own exactly. like version of the Avengers?
So the only time I got chills reading comics was a Siege issue where at the end where it's just five panels and Iron Patriots looking up, and it's just Cap every panel shield. And you just see Cap shield just slowly reflecting in it.
God, that was fucking great. Awesome. You're right.
Oh, how about that Ultimate series when Captain America, I can't remember what they're fighting. It was one of the first Ultimate ones, but when he's fighting the guy, and the guy's like, why don't you surrender? And he points at his head, and he's like, does this letter stand for France?
Yeah. Well, he says, does this letter fucking stand for, like, it's like bleeped out. Yeah.
It's like so, I don't remember the story, but just a movie to where that's the end of it, yeah. I'd watch that.
And, like, at the end of the movie, like, the American flag waves, and we're all flipping off France. Well,
fuck you, France.
Another one that hits me is, I think they could do a really cool thing with the death of Captain America as a film.
I think we might see that. I think they're
building up to that.
I think so. But, I mean, I think that would be just freaking awesome.
Stop fucking spoiling shit.
That's not a spoil. I just said that I think we might see that.
Well, I mean, we're going to lose Evans by 2018. No,
he came out yesterday and said...
Of the closet? Because I'm into that. I'm on.
Low-hanging fruit, Tom. Low-hanging fruit.
No, it's not low-hanging fruit. That's a fantasy of mine.
No,
Didn't he say he wants to, like... Move into directing?
No, yeah, so that's what... So he said something, and it got people took it as, after his contract is up with Marvel, he's quitting acting and only doing directing. There was an interview, like, yesterday or the day before where he said, that's probably my fault. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, I'd like to, like, as far as my obligations with Marvel go, that's what I want to focus on for my acting right now. Anything outside of my Marvel contract, I'd like it to be exclusively directing right now.
Oh, so for this. Essentially,
what he's saying is like, I'm Captain America right now, and that's pretty much all I want to do as far as acting goes. Everything else, directing.
Gotcha.
Like outside of his Marvel contract. So that's.
Can't say I blame the guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, shit.
It's a lot of work, movie every year, you know?
Yeah.
Because did Cap.
And then Avengers is filming right now.
Yep.
We don't have an order for the next films, but I would guess that Cap will be involved with one of them. Because if we won't have an Iron Man 3, I bet Captain America 3 leads off the next trilogy.
Yep, yep, definitely. So, all right, so that pretty much wraps things up for this week. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. We're going to talk video games.
And Craven's last one.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girlcast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.